This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Good morning, everyone. So my name's Anne, and it is really great to be with you this morning. I realise some of you know me, and others don't know me yet. But of those who do know me, some of you may be aware that one of my favourite places to be is in the garden with these rather muddy gloves on. These ones don't have holes. There's a pile of one-handed gloves left in my cupboard where I've rather keenly taken my finger through several of them. But I know that I'm not alone in my love of plants in the garden. And I'm just going to invite my helpers to come and get my visual aid up. Richard, we might just need a third person, if you don't mind, to coordinate. While they're doing that, when you get a view of this plant, can anyone tell me what it might be? If you're online, feel free to pop it in the comments at the back. Do you want to shout out? Exactly. It is a hydrangea. So David is going to just do what I've asked him to do. It's fine. You can watch him. You can listen to me. You can do both. He'll just get to work. Don't worry about him. We'll come back to him in a minute. And we're going to read our Bible passage for today, which is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. So if you have a Bible, please do take a look for that, or it'll be on screen if not. So I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So this isn't a vine. I couldn't find one in a pot. They tend to be attached to plants, but also you need to prune them in December. So this would be a really poor way of caring for a vine if I were to have one here almost in March. But hopefully it will be a helpful reminder for you in the days and weeks to come of what we've been talking about today. So this year we're looking at the idea that we can have an abundant life in Jesus. And you will hear us talking over the course of the year about how you are known, you are loved, and you are expected. And for me, this passage in John is a really clear example of how we can live an abundant life in Jesus, as people who are known, loved, and expected. Each of you and this plant are known. And so all I said to David at the beginning was, could you look after the hydrangea? This is actually his plant, and he knows what it is that the plant needs to flourish and thrive. So I'm just going to have a mini gardening lesson. So David, what have you been doing?
Well, I'm pruning it. The old mop heads from last year, as you can see here, have been kept there to protect it against the snow and so on. But now the new buds are starting to come out. We prune it back to where those are, just above that, and then they can flourish. But also there's some which are dead twigs, completely dead. And so I went right down into the bottom and cut those right down to ground because they needed to come out completely because they were sort of dead and useless, so they needed to go.
Brilliant. And if you did absolutely nothing, what would happen to the plant over time?
Gets very straggly, leggy, sort of flops. And this one has been neglected a bit. It's a bit too tangled. There's too many things in here. So I'm going to have to take some more of those out and just choose carefully ones that look like they're going to do the best. And we'll see what happens in a few months' time.
Brilliant. Maybe we'll have to get a report back later in the summer.
I'm anxiously looking to see all the gardening experts.
no pressure, you know, live online gardening display. Thank you, David. I'm going to let David carry on so he doesn't end up with a lopsided hydrangea if he gets caught up in other things this afternoon. But we're going to move back on with our passage. So we read, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. A bit like the plant. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. This is not going to last very long in this form. God the Father knows us. And in the same way that David is carefully tending for his plant over here, partly by leaving it to this point and partly by doing this now, how much more does the God who created us know each and every one of us? The bits of our lives that are seen, the bits that are unseen, the bits that, to be honest, need cutting off, and the bits which just need pruning. So that we might bear much fruit. This passage is all about the fruit that comes. And it says in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. This is not about us and how we appear to the world outside us. This is for my Father's glory that you would show yourself to be my disciples. Now, if this language of fruit is unfamiliar to us, unfamiliar to anyone listening, we're talking about here the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings. We can read in Galatians 5, 22-23, that the Holy Spirit brings love, brings joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is layer upon layer of description in this passage as we get more and more of the context of where this happens and how this happens. As we go from this section about the vine and the branches, we move on to this reminder that we are loved. In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, if I'm honest, this chapter in John starts off with a fairly brutal reminder about cutting bits off and pruning, and it's a bit heavy, if I really stop and think about it. But then we have this reminder that it's out of a place of love. It's out of a place of care. It's the cutting off of the bits which aren't healthy, the branches which are just broken and dead inside, removing them completely. It's about the pruning of the bits that have health in them, but need shaping, need forming, need revisiting, that the whole plant, in this case, might flourish. Flowering plants, like this one, are made to flower. Vines, in our Bible passage, are made to bear grapes. And for those plants to meet their full potential, they really need to be cared for. You can't just leave them to grow wild, or they get straggly, as David says. Thank you, David. And part of being cared for is to be shaped and pruned. For us as individuals to have our blind spots highlighted to us, that we might change, that we might develop maturity, that we might flourish and be fruitful with all those fruits of the Spirit I listed earlier, that we might reach our full potential as followers of Jesus, and that those around us would know that there is something different about us as a result of that. Now, for this hydrangea, this process is pretty simple. It has stayed in its pot. David has come along, snipped it off, disposed of the waste. The hydrangea really didn't do a lot, if I'm honest, in that process. But for us as individuals, it is different. For us to remain and to be willing to be pruned, shaped, have the bits that have no life in them removed, I think we run away and squirm a bit, if I'm honest. I do. I'm sure many of you do as well. It's not easy. It takes believing that we are known and loved by Jesus to even consider why that might be a good thing for us. It takes pursuing a relationship with Jesus to even dare to do some of these things. If we don't have that relationship with Jesus, why would we spend our time here on a Sunday morning? Why would we pray? Why would we read our Bibles? Why would we give of our money, our time, our energy? Why would we listen to God's nudges and prompts that he might want something better for us? Or to even acknowledge that something might need to change? I'm not sure that I would if I didn't have that relationship. And perhaps some of you are here or listening or watching online this morning and you don't have that relationship. But you're exploring a bit more why, and you're wondering why I can talk like this. But let me just speak to you for a moment. You are known and you are loved by Jesus, whether you know him or not. And if you're not sure why I can make those bold claims, please come and talk to me at the end. Or if you're online, send a message in. We'd love to chat more with you, whether you agree with what I'm saying or not. We have all kinds of opportunities that come up. We have an alpha course that runs regularly where you can come and explore some of those questions. And we won't tell you what to think. We'll just listen and chat with you as you explore more of who Jesus is. And if you're not ready today, maybe next time, listen out for our next alpha. But Jesus knows you and Jesus loves you. So when we choose to remain and to spend time with Jesus, we realize that some of our thoughts and behaviors don't really fit in. A bit like how I can only imagine you'd feel if you showed up to Buckingham Palace in your pajamas. Awkward, to say the least, I'm sure. And when we spend time with Jesus, maybe things get highlighted. Maybe you have a temper. And God's been highlighting to you how it holds you back, how it damages your relationships, how people kind of just step back to one side when you get upset. Maybe you have a problem with pornography and it's destroying both your soul and your close relationships. Maybe you gossip or belittle others and you're not loving others as God has called you to. Or maybe you believe lies about yourself and you don't see yourself how Jesus sees you. These behaviors and thought patterns are perhaps some of the more obvious bits to cut off, to cut right to the base, to try and remove. The bits which aren't godly, the bits which aren't righteous, aren't pure and true, aren't in keeping with God's character. But that's not the only place God's at work in us. This passage talks about the cutting back, the removing, but also the pruning of healthy parts in order to shape the plant, as David said, to give a bit more space, to let things grow, to let the light in. And perhaps there are healthy things in your life which God is also pruning back. Maybe that means that on a Sunday morning, if you're here at Sunday gathering in the building, maybe it's choosing to spend some time reaching out to those you don't know yet, as opposed to spending your time with your friends. A subtle change, but a conscious choice. Or maybe it's stepping back from something you're currently involved with in order to give your time and energy to the thing that God's been highlighting to you. Giving up something good for what God has for you that is even better. Now, this can be really hard, especially when you love some of those things and you love the people who you've chosen to build relationship with. But when we are deeply rooted and abiding in Jesus, when we're listening to Jesus' voice, we can trust that Jesus knows us and has the best for us, that we are known and that we are loved. And then sometimes, and maybe this is just me, with gritted teeth, we can go, okay, I'll do it. And trust that there is something better. We can choose to trust what Jesus is doing on our lives and what he's calling us to. But this is tough. We live in a world of instant gratification where those of us who choose to can have a smartphone in our pockets where we can get instant updates on everything, same-day deliveries. We can look things up rather than having to go to the library and find an encyclopedia. And the idea of letting go of something in the now for something to come is really hard. It's countercultural. It's not how we live and breathe for most of us. And it can throw up questions from those around us of why? Why are you giving up this good thing for something which God has promised you, but you can't yet see? So let's acknowledge that this is difficult at times. I don't think that I'm the only one who finds this tough. And if you were experiencing pruning or cutting back of any kind in your life at the moment, let me encourage you that the good news about Jesus is that you are expected. Verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Now, in the same way, David was expecting to come up and tend to this hydrangea this morning, Jesus is expecting and chooses us. And when things are tough, we don't have to do anything other than choose to, like the hydrangea, engage to say, I'm here, God, have your way. Have your way in me. Do what you need to do. We have this open invitation to remain, to abide, just to dwell, to be in God's presence. And abiding can look different at different times and in different seasons and for each of us. David and Alison, our senior pastors, will be taking a sabbatical this summer, taking time out specifically to abide in Jesus, to seek that deep refreshment, restoration and rest, which is a necessary discipline for them in this line of work. For me, abiding is often worship music turned up loud, often when I'm on my own, and that's where I've gone many times over the last few days, just worship music on, because I don't have the words to express my response to the current situation a lot of the time. For others, abiding may be studying and poring over the Bible, or getting out in nature, enjoying God's beauty and creation. And if you, like me, struggle to abide at times, just a reminder, you're not alone in that. And like any relationship, our relationship with Jesus takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes learning different ways. It takes different things at different times. And I'd encourage you to chat to your growth group or chat to other Christians you know and find out what they do. Find out what works for them and explore different ways of abiding. What's the worst that could happen? So let me wrap up before we turn to communion. You are known and you are loved and you are expected. And I believe that Jesus wants you to live an abundant life and that the way to do that is to abide in him. To choose his ways, to let Jesus remove the things that are not of him and prune the healthy places that you might bear much fruit. That your life would be characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I'm just going to focus on a couple of verses. And this time, I'd like you to hear them through the lens of being somebody who is known, loved, and expected by Jesus. So Jesus says to us, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Each and every one of you listening now. "I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. In a moment, we're going to be sharing communion. So we're just going to start preparing for that. Remembering that communion is a holy moment, a sacrament, and it's really important that we remember who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We've been sat for a while, so I'm going to invite you to stand, and there's just going to be a prayer on the screen which you can pray out with me if you'd like to, and I'll invite Dave and Alison up as well for communion. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you know us, you love us and expect us, that you have prepared a place for us in your Father's house. And we invite you to come and prune us. Show us the things which are not of you and do a deep work in us, restoring us to our true potential. We know that you highlight these things because you love us. So help us to trust that you have something better for us. Amen.